Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Did you have me muted?
Yes, I did.
So I have to say that again. Hi, I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, I'm Therapist Kelly. It's like Groundhog Day.
See what a facial does to you? It wrecks your brain.
We're both completely out of it. I think the engineering got us all screwed up here.
Yes, hopefully we haven't lost all of our listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Today we had a little snafu with our engineering stuff. So, all right,
but
well,
our engineer came to the rescue and fixed it.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I got a little bit of that sleep deprivation again. Now Prowler decides that he wants to be fed at 4:30 in the morning. And this week we have to give him oral chemo. Last week was injection. Next week is injection. Every program is different every week. And you got to shove a pill down the back of his throat and then get him to eat. And he hates this. So now he looks at us. The minute we're moving, he like wants to run and hide. So we have to close doors. And Christopher's done the feeding at the 4:30. And then I take over after that. It's just crazy. But that little bugger, he's doing good.
He looks so adorable. That picture you sent me, I'm like, oh my God, he's so delicious.
He is.
I want to kiss him on the mouth.
What about Moosey?
We don't know. We're still waiting. Oh, he's acting okay. I'm not like worried. It's not like, I mean, he's just peeing in the middle of the night. Quite a bit. So you've got your 4:30 feeding. I got my peeing at like, you know, 12 and 2. And so
just be grateful you don't have the vomit that we have every day too.
That's very true.
But you've
although cat and dog vomit do not bother me.
Okay, only
weird
people.
Enough. Yeah. but he's doing
so
okay.
What's the worst thing that they're thinking about?
Probably this Cushing's disease, which is not like the worst thing. It's just a questionable if you want to medicate him, because I think the medicine is a little bit questionable. I don't know. I need to learn more information.
And that's kidney or liver or thyroid?
I think it's a pituitary tumor type thing on the adrenal glands or something like that. Don't quote me. I have no idea, to be honest. I know.
You've had some odd things you've had to deal with in your life with didn't London have something like gastrointestinal?
Yes, and I have all these weird things too. Like I have polycystic ovarian syndrome. Like ovaries, I have scoliosis, Raynaud's disease. I have like every like random like.
And yet you radiate such beauty and health.
You're so cute. You're so sweet. I'm like a mess. Thank God we're not live today. So, but I want to hear about your weekend because I want to tell you about some craziness on mine too.
Oh, I just, you know, the highlight of my weekend actually was I went to see the play Beauty and the Beast at the Civic Arts Plaza, and I went by myself, and everybody had like children and grandchildren. Yeah. Like, I'll adopt any one of you, you know?
I have two.
I know. Would they sit through something like that, though? It was a delicious performance.
Was it really?
Just lovely. Yeah,
oh,
the songs.
So
it was very true to form to the actual movie.
Okay.
The actors were fantastic, and the sets were beautiful. And it was just like leaving, you know, the earth for a few hours
to
completely drop into fantasy. I loved it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you
did that.
That
was my treat. Yes.
Great.
How about you? What's the crazy?
We went to Lake Gregory, which is very close to Arrowhead.
Of
course you would know. You know every topography in California. Like, seriously, I swear to God, like, I knew you'd be like, oh yeah, that's 0.2 miles from
Blue Jay.
Exactly. Yeah. I knew
No, it's actually about 16 miles because it's off the 18 crest line.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Remy did great. London, we had an issue with.
What did you do with them there?
He kept stealing everybody's food.
From other people?
From our friends who brought like a cooler, and he just kept going in their food, and he just was hungry. We get there at like 10 and he's like starving. So I then have to take him to like Crestline Cafe. And he just was crazy, like completely dysregulated.
Did you go on a boat? Like what?
No, they have like inflatables there
right.
and different things like that. But, so it was kind of like a little bit of a rough go. I mean, I'm glad we went. I'm glad that Remy had a great time.
What made you choose, Lake Gregory as opposed to Lake Arrowhead? Private rights on Lake Arrowhead, I think, is very few places.
My friend just told me about this one.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
Yeah. It's like a little kept secret, that Lake Gregory.
Yeah.
That
I mean, it was a
little
far, I have to say. Like, it took us, like, I don't know, maybe two, About an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah, so it's a drive.
But they do well in the car, right? Because they have their iPads.
Exactly.
London
that was
also.
Fine. Yeah, well, we've got like a little TV, a DVD, so.
So it keeps them busy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Does the motion of the car put them to sleep in the afternoon?
That would be lovely, wouldn't
it? No, it's not.
No.
Ah, poor girl. All right. Well, since we've got a late start today, let's dive into last week. Oh, my God, I love this lady. Helena Grace Donald, learning to love the girl in the mirror. She's just adorable.
She was so
I don't even know a better word for her. So adorable.
Sweet.
So kind.
So her book is about eating disorders for teenagers, but I think it's so applicable to really any woman because we've all been there and just learning to love yourself. But
she incorporates tapping in
her
work also.
Exactly. Not the tap shoes, the actual emotion freedom technique. So if you missed that show, it's wonderful. And her book, again, is Learning to Love the Girl in the Mirror.
Okay. Today we have Jan. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Today we have Jan Mundo. CMSC has held headache programs at medical centers, universities, and corporations, including Kaiser Permanente, Stanford University, and Apple. She's a certified master somatic coach and massage therapist with advanced training in multiple healing modalities. Her book, The Headache Healer's Handbook, answers the headache sufferer's pleas for help and offers hope for a headache-free future. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Now you can hear us.
Thank God.
Yay.
Thanks for being so cool about our engineering snafu.
Boy, you know, it's interesting because I would say it's got to be about 15 or 20 years ago. I had headaches for an entire year and I never figured out what the source was. I just thought, of course, I had a brain tumor and I was going to die. That turned out to not be it, or it's a very slow moving one. But so very, very interesting. They're so awful and painful. And my daughter also suffered from migraines, but she's better. So anyways, tell us about you and this book, and we're very happy to have you on.
Thank you so much. So where do I even start?
I'll pare it down for you. Why did you decide to write this book?
So in 1970, I know I'm dating myself, but I heard of a claim that you could put your hands on the front and back of somebody's head. And I started experimenting with it. I was kind of interested in headaches, but not so much. All I knew was that my mom had them when I was growing up. So when I was about 10 or 11, she would get these horrible migraines the whole time I was growing up. But I can remember a particular incident. We were away on vacation, and she had a migraine or felt one coming on. And so I put my hands on her neck and shoulders. And, you know, it's kind of like when somebody says, oh, I have an itch right there, scratch it. And I was rubbing out what she called the knots and spurs in her neck and shoulders. And it gave her relief. So that's really all I knew. And then after, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I heard of this claim. And so I started experimenting with it just for the heck of it. I got headaches or migraines every now and then, but I really didn't even know about them. And I didn't know the difference between, say, a tension headache and a migraine. Mm-hmm. But after I learned and heard about this claim that you could put your hands on the front and back of somebody's head, I was able to relieve people's headaches and migraines. And unbeknownst to them, wherever I was, I could, somebody would exclaim that they had a headache or migraine. I basically became a headache magnet for about 21 years. And wherever I went, somebody would say they had one. You know, I could be at a party, I could be shopping at a department store or at a makeup counter, and a salesperson would say it, a family member would say it at a family gathering. Somebody would be literally leaving a party, and I'd be walking in, and they'd be complaining about it. So it seemed like people would exclaim this in front of me. So I was curious each time. I would pop up and say, "Well, I can help you. Let me just try." So it was more out of curiosity, and I was able to relieve their headache by putting my hands on their head. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just able to do it.
Wow!
And then I started getting them when I was in early perimenopause, in my early 40s. And so I started experimenting with it even more. And through getting laid off of my job, going through a lot of drama and stress, I decided, well, I know, I'll just teach people how to do what I've been doing on the head all this time. And then I realized I didn't really know what I was doing on the head, and I didn't know anything about headaches. Mm-hmm. So I began researching it and reading all the medical and consumer literature that I could. I began reading about the mind-body connection and put together, deconstructed my method and tested it on people and found that they were able to relieve their own pain as well, because I thought, well, you know, why just, you know, work with me, work with people, have them be able to do it on themselves, because I was also doing it on myself. And then I got my first few referrals from a neurologist at UCLA who was a headache specialist, and she made the comment that I was able to relieve her patient's headaches, which I knew was happening, but I wasn't able to prevent them, which is the part I knew about. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wasn't doing something for prevention, and that's when I started doing a lot of more reading on the mind-body connection, Deepak Chopra and Herbert Benson, and about stress, meditation, and perimenopause and menopause. And this is when I also learned that migraine is a symptom of perimenopause. Mm. So that's when I put together this mind body, or what I call in the book, somatic self-care program, to help people look at their whole selves and figure out kind of what it is in combinations of factors, mm-hmm. to be able to relieve and prevent their own pain. So I put it together in a program, started teaching medical centers, and then did that for a long time. And I've had this book roiling around in me for a very long time, finally put it all together. I mean, I used to work with handouts and then explain everything in between. So the mm-hmm. book has everything that I used to give people in handouts, which are more simple instructions so that they can follow them easily, mm-hmm. and then all the explanations behind it and all the reasoning and all the just permutations and subtleties of how to do everything, literally how to do it all.
Wow. I'm really curious, and I don't even know if there's an answer to this, but is there any neuroscience behind this? Is there science behind this kind of healing?
I would sure love to get it studied.
Yeah,
as far as the hands-on therapy, I think it's really interesting because, you know, usually it's handled by medications, and or there were some early studies, and there was some early research with biofeedback, what's now called neurofeedback, but my method itself hasn't been studied as far as the hands-on therapy, but I think it's really interesting because what I realized when I deconstructed the method is that I was working with the pulsations of the pain itself, and that I could locate them with my touch, and that also there was what I call a mental push, and by really focusing intently and basically overpowering the sensations and stilling them and then feeling them release, which had a whole other set of sensations, that you could change the pain and you could release the pain. And not only the pain, but with migraine, you have all these other symptoms. People can be nauseated. They can be sensitive to light and sounds and odors and have all these visual disturbances. There are all these other symptoms, and those also would release on doing the hands-on therapy. So I think it's really interesting that a touch and concentration therapy could work just as well or in some ways better than a medication because you don't have the side effects. Now, that's for the relief part. So I don't know what the science is, but I sure would like to find out.
Yeah,
because doctors and neurologists, scientists, don't actually know the exact mechanism of migraine itself. Right. And migraine has more severe symptoms than and is more disabling than a regular tension type headache, but people suffer from those as well. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the science behind prevention and the mind-body program that I teach, I mean, part of it is meditation, part of it is breathing, part of it is diet, and self-massage, so easing out the stress and tension in your body, some of its posture. So in all of those cases, not only with headache, but with other kinds of conditions, that there has been some research into being able to shift certain conditions with meditation or with breathing, for instance. But offhand, I couldn't name them. But they're, you know, it's not as favored because there's not big money behind it as far as being able to get the funding for those kind of studies. But there have been studies by the NIH. And actually, there has been a migraine study. And I'm sorry that I don't have it at hand. But, you know, so I couldn't explain the exact science of it. But there are studies that show that meditation and cognitive behavioral therapies and other things can work effectively with headaches and migraines.
So is your hands-on method, is that also similar to Reiki? I mean, is there like kind of this, you know, energy healing component to it?
I think there is an energy healing component to it. I do use a light touch. I think it's different than Reiki. I'm not a Reiki master and I haven't trained in it. I've trained in energy work extensively, but my sense of it is, and my experience of it is, that I'm working with the actual sensations of the pain itself, and that pain of a headache or migraine, and with migraine it's stronger. There's like an electrical component to the pulsations that I'm working with, or you could call them oscillations. And so I think that there is an electrical component and there is an energetic component. I couldn't say exactly how it matches up to Reiki, but I think it's different in that it's working really specifically with the sensations of pain, what I'm doing.
And anybody do this, or is it like, okay, you have to kind of have that, I don't know, energy component? Like, if I have a headache, can I cure myself?
I think so. How I teach it and how I've always taught it is that, well, actually in the beginning when I was testing the method and testing my instructions to see if other people could do it, I sent them the instructions and I had never touched them. And in some cases, they had never met me. And so it was just really testing it without any benefit of them feeling that it could work. And so they simply followed the instructions. And at that time, the instructions were really, really simple. And they were able to either back down their headache, or they were able to keep one from escalating, or prevent it from escalating, or back down one that had already been escalating. How I teach it now and how I've been teaching it for most of the time after that is that I help people build up their skills. And there are a number of reasons for that. To do the mental push, it really takes focus, concentration, and being able to focus your mind on your touch and on your pain, and also being able to split your attention between the pain that you're feeling on the inside as the patient, mm-hmm. quote unquote, mm-hmm. the person who's suffering, and split your attention between that and yourself as a caregiver. So when you're working on yourself, you're both receiver and giver of the treatment. You're both the patient or the client and the practitioner. So it's a little trickier. And so that's why I teach people how to build up their skills. So meditation is one thing, because you learn how to focus your attention. Mm-hmm. And you learn, you know, if your mind is wandering, you learn how to really put your mind in a certain place and calm it. And then also I teach breathing first, where you can breathe lower into your body. And I also teach them self-massage first, so that they can ease out the tension in their shoulders, neck, head, and face. And the reason that I teach those other two components first is when you're breathing up high in your body. So if you took a deep breath right now, so go ahead and do that. And if your listeners could do that too. So take a really deep breath and then let it go. And do it again. So what did you notice where that breath was in your body when you did it?
Mine stayed high.
Me too.
More
yeah.
My head and
me
my
too.
Chest.
My head also.
But when I'm in yeah. yoga, I have learned how to breathe deeper into my lower body. But right now, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you tell most people to take that deep breath, they'll take it high in their body, so in their upper chest. So when you take it up in your upper chest like that, what happens is the related muscles that are usually tight, it's very rare that you find anybody who suffers from tension headaches, because there is this tightness component, and even migraine, who don't have upper body tension. So tension in their shoulders and tightness and pain in their shoulders, neck, head, and face. So I teach those components first so that they can ease them out, because a lot of times the headache just gets stuck, or even the migraine gets stuck because those parts are tight. And then this is still answering your question about can anybody do it. So it's a, you know, you kind of build up your skills so that you can do it. And then the other part that I was mentioning is posture. I think that was the other thing I mentioned, besides breathing. And well, also, yeah, releasing and then breathing both. And then also posture, so that when you're in alignment, like if you can align your ear, your shoulders, and your hips, say if you're sitting in a vertical line, because so many of us have head forward posture because we're leaning into our computers or leaning toward the steering wheel and to see over onto the road, right?
Sure.
We're bending our heads forward and down, so our necks are bent when we're texting. So what that does is it puts a whole lot of tightness in your shoulders and neck, so that your head becomes like a bowling ball that you're carrying out in front of you. So all those things keep your upper body muscles contracted. So then when you can ease those out first, those keep at bay or back down a lot of the components that feed into the migraine. Even though the migraine, the tension headache, they would be definitely part of. The migraine is in itself a whole other phenomenon that happens in your brain and your blood vessels, and your brainstem, neurochemicals in your head and your brain. However, when you don't have the complicating factors of the tightness, then you can actually work directly then on the headache, which works straight through the brain. So your hands on your head and in the front and the back. And so it's a long answer that I gave you, but when you learn all those other things, then it helps you then be able to stop your own headache or migraine. And I've taught it to many, many people. The thing about learning all those other things, plus working with diet and learning your combinations of factors and other things about how you carry your body, how you hold your body, like I was saying, your posture and other things that you might be sensitive to, then you can learn how to prevent a lot of the things that are causing the headache in the first place. So a lot of times people learn so well that I'm working with how to prevent that they don't become super accomplished in how to relieve, because they don't need the relief method as much.
I have a curious question for you about allergies. So basically I actually live in an area called Thousand Oaks, and I'm actually have discovered I'm allergic to oak. And I can't always remove myself from my environment, because that's actually where I live and where I do business. But sometimes I get headaches that I'm pretty sure are related to being around those and other things that I'm allergic to there as well. So if you don't remove the allergen, can you still remove the headache? Or do you really have to be away from the allergen itself to get rid of the headache? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm not an allergist, and a lot of people are allergic to a lot of things in the air, pollens and pollutants. And do you find that it's more when they're at certain times of year? Or?
Yeah, when, also when it's windier, when also other combining factors, like there's certain kind of plants I'm also allergic to. So if they all sort of are clustering around in my way, then I notice that that's worse. I get a headache, I think, that's due to the congestion, because I get a lot of congestion and it's a little bit more difficult to breathe, mm-hmm. and then I end up with a headache.
And do you take anti-congestants?
Nope.
I don't think I said that right.
Decongestants.
I don't really take much of anything. I usually just kind of suck it up and keep on going.
Yeah. So what I found is that, and do you, so did you say that you stay inside a lot when that This no, kind
not,
of in those times. Okay.
Typical. Yeah.
So, you know, I've found that, and people definitely are, you know, have sensitivities. Some people are allergic. Some people have found, I think, that, you know, the washes, so not to do the medications, but say neti pot or other things where they can do rinses like that might be helpful. But I found that when other people, when people's other factors are in balance, so they're drinking enough water, they're getting enough sleep, they're eating often enough, like when all the other things, when they're under less stress, that they might not be as susceptible. Sure. But, you know, it definitely is a sensitivity for people. But I just like weather can be, you know, low barometric pressure and even living in certain areas like you're talking about, like sometimes when people move. I had a client that moved to New York from California. I was raised actually in L.A. So, but this was when I was practicing in the Bay Area, and but I always wondered what it was, because he stopped having headaches when he moved to New York. But the other thing is that he broke up with, he had a troublesome relationship. So he changed that too. So I was never sure whether it was the weather or the relationship. We stopped working together after he moved, but he definitely saw an improvement when he moved across the country.
Wow. So we're talking with Jan Mundo, and she is the author of The Headache Healer's Handbook, a holistic hands-on somatic self-care program for headache and migraine relief and prevention. So I have a feeling that a lot of listeners are going to be wondering about dietary tips. And I'm wondering if you can give us a couple tips or maybe main food causes that can cause migraines.
Right. Diet can make such a huge difference. And how I started working with diet is that I found this little red book called Victory Over Migraine by a Ford Foundation advisor and biochemist named Rodolfo Lowe. And he wrote this book in the mid-80s, and he used to be a migraine sufferer, and he noticed that when he went to the movies when he was a kid, he would get horrible migraines afterward. And then when he deconstructed that as an adult, he realized that they ate candy the whole time. Gorged on candy.
Yeah.
And then started doing clinical research into hypoglycemia and borderline low blood sugar and migraine. And found that migraine sufferers and people who are prone to them are different than other people, he found. And this was his theory. And that he noticed that their blood sugar started out lower and then had this rise and dip, and that it ended up lower than normal, quote unquote, normal people's blood sugar. And one of the things that he noticed was that the rise and dip was faster in when they would be given a glucose tolerance test. And so he said that a lot of times, you know, even if you take a glucose tolerance test, that you can't find that borderline low blood sugar if you're a migraine patient, or a migraine sufferer, because you need to test every 15 minutes. So he said you didn't really have to take the test, but that what you could do is eat a hypoglycemic diet, which is basically 6 small meals a day or 3 meals and 3 snacks. And so if you have 3 meals and 3 snacks, then you would want to have smaller ones, because then you wouldn't be ready to have the next one, right? And because you would be too full. And so, and to incorporate protein in all of them. And it doesn't have to be a lot of protein, just a little bit. So I started working with this theory and found it made a huge difference for me and other people, my clients. And so what I advise people to do is eat what I call early protein.
Okay.
And that means that when you wake up in the morning, you want to have as little time as you can between waking up and eating, and that you want to incorporate protein and to find something that you like. That's what I advise for people. So in my book, I have the story about this radiologist. He was a new dad, and had a brutal schedule. He was doing some things that were helpful in his life, like he was exercising, but he was under a lot of stress. So he wasn't meditating and he wasn't breathing well. But also he would have first thing in the morning, bagel and cream cheese, and then dash off to work very early in the morning to be able to work with his patients. So I advised him, based on this idea of early protein, to start. Well, I asked him what kind of protein he liked. And being that he was already having bagel and cream cheese, I asked him if he liked lox, smoked salmon. And he did. And so we basically made that small change and then started eating more often with more protein. And if you've ever been, you know, somebody with a brutal schedule like that, you know, a lot of times you're skipping meals, you're not having water. So we kind of incorporated all that. And it made a huge difference. He stopped having migraines.
Wow.
So early protein and incorporating protein a little bit in all your meals and snacks. I advise against having energy bars because that's really what they are. They're for quick energy when you work out. And they're not especially the best thing for people who have migraine. So with tension type headaches, diet isn't so much of a factor, but with migraine it is. So, you know, some energy bars have higher protein, but I advise against having them as a meal, basically. And then if you're going to have a sweet, tack it on to the end of a protein meal. So if you're going to have a cookie, tack it on to the end of a protein meal. Or don't just have a cookie and some milk. Right. And then different kinds of milk were different. So soy milk has the highest protein in cow's milk. Right. Rice milk, which is very popular, and the nut milks, they don't have really as much protein if you look at them at the labels. So, you know, be a label checker. That's another tip that I give people. And basically to find the kind of protein that you like and just, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that I'm doing something right, because I eat egg whites with a little bit of cheese every morning and then just a half a piece of rye bread and make it into like a sandwich.
Yes.
How about you,
You got really faded out.
Oh, I did?
Not hearing you
well.
Yes.
Oh.
Something happened. There was a little bit of noise.
How about now?
And now I can barely hear you.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit.
So you can hear me better, but you can't hear Deborah. It's still.
Well, how about?
Okay.
Can you hear me now, or I can talk louder?
Yeah, talk louder.
Okay.
But there got to be a lot of noise and not some more, just as much noise, and not so much you guys.
Oh, okay.
Weird. Okay, we can
like
hear you.
Like you're way down the hall. Can you
perfectly.
Hear me? Okay.
Perfectly.
Yeah, we can hear you crystal clear. We'll just speak up, but I have eggs every morning.
Good.
And I've noticed for me, protein does.
I actually can't hear you.
All right, we're going to try calling you back. We'll call you right back. All right, we'll try here again. Let's see. So hang with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, can you hear
now
us?
Now can you hear us?
Anything?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Okay, we're going to get our engineer. And I'm going to go ahead and remind our guests, we've been talking with Jan Mundo, and she is the author of the Headache Healer's Handbook. And she talks about basically program relief for headaches and her hands-on method, which sounds really cool, and also how diet can make a huge difference. So in her book, it's really amazing. She talks about protein and different things to do to kind of get rid of those headaches. So we're going to try to call her one more time. My brother used to get migraines all the time, by
really?
The way. Yeah.
Your brother and me, Tiffany, when she was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear us? She can't hear us.
Oh, no.
So let's see.
I can't hear you guys.
You know, why don't you text her and tell her that...
I'll just say we'll carry on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll promote her book
exactly.
And share a few
that's
tips.
It.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Jan. You were a lovely guest. But we will continue for you. And you know what? Maybe I'll read a little bit of some excerpts from her book because I think it's really fascinating. So what I've discovered is there's so many different things that can contribute to... a headache. And so basically what she talks about is keeping a daily record of what you eat, because that's the best way to discover your triggers. Eat every 2 to 3 hours, boost your protein, reduce the amount of time between waking up and eating, eat early protein, which she talked about, because that helps boost your sugar levels. So low sugar levels can cause migraines. Kick the caffeine, but she talks about this several times as far as not doing it cold turkey.
Don't know.
Can you hear us, Jan? Okay. And she wants you to kick the caffeine in different stages. And so you can read about that. Stick to a regular meal schedule. Be aware of sugars and artificial sweeteners. Do not consume standalone sweets, like she was talking about. Opt for natural carbohydrates. Eat magnesium-rich foods. And there's more. I don't want to read her whole book. But but really great diet tips, and really healthy, too, which is great.
So what did your brother end up doing for his
headaches?
Oh, my
God, I remember. I'm assuming it's hormonal, because he was probably about 12 or 13, and he'd vomit. Oh, it's awful. What did he do? I guess he still gets migraines to this day. I don't know. I guess he just deals with it. Maybe he takes medicine. It's a great question. What about Tiffany? Did she eventually get over it?
She had a interesting experience. She would go to school, and she'd get these migraines. And so the doctor said that she should have... This is funny. Her own bottle of Coca-Cola that they would keep for her at her little school.
Yep.
And when she got a headache, she'd go to the principal's office and they would
give her the Coke,
with some Coke. But it ended up, on a side note, it ended up being kind of a challenge, because the other kids got really
jealous.
Envious. Yes.
Yeah.
That she was getting this. And then people would talk about, well, she's just doing this to get attention. I'm like, no, my daughter has friggin' migraines. Yeah. She projectile vomits. I mean, she gets sick. It's sick. And it was so sad. One time we went to her Girl Scout overnight camp.
Yeah.
And she was so excited. And when Tiffany was much younger, she was very, very shy.
Yeah.
It was very hard to get her sometimes to go do these really like big social things. Mm-hmm. Also, she is very sensitive. So loud noises, too much stimulation, these would sometimes trigger the migraine. So when we went to this camp, it was like the dirtiest, most pathetic camp I'd ever been to. But we had our little tent, and about 2 or 3 hours into the evening, and we were about to do like the s'mores and all the stuff. And she was so excited. She said, Mama, I think she was like 7. I'll have the headache again. And and so we had to sort of hide and be quiet in the tent and stuff. Poor little girl. But anyway, I ended up taking her to a pediatric neurologist.
Oh.
And he cured her.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
What did he do?
Put her on medication. About 6 months later, she never had another migraine. And I think she doesn't report much.
My
I think
God.
She gets, yeah, but he was such a cool guy. He had this long ponytail of gray hair. He would wear Birkenstocks.
Oh my God,
like,
I love it.
T-shirts and all this stuff. And he would he was always late, though, because he would talk to his patients and their parents
forever.
For
hours.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like one day we got the whole story about supermarkets and shopping from him.
Right.
Because he really got hands on there and personal. Yeah. And maybe it was like a combination of the medicine, but also growing out of it, because this was closer to her pre-puberty, maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe some of that shifted. Maybe there was some stress that she didn't know how to speak about that went away.
Makes sense.
You know, she did, you know, we did do a lot of soothing for her and all that kind of stuff. She's such a good girl.
She is so sweet.
Oh.
So yeah, so if you missed the beginning of this show, we were talking with Jan Mundo, the Headache Healer's Handbook author, and I'm sorry, we have some engineering snafus, otherwise she'd be on the show, and she was on, but she gives some really great tips and advice if you missed that.
Yeah.
So,
anybody else in your family have headaches? I'm trying to think, like, I don't...
My mom does. My mom gets them up. Well, first of all, if she doesn't have her coffee within, like, maybe 3 hours of waking up.
But that's caffeine withdrawal, right? Does she drink a lot of coffee?
She has to have coffee. Like, it is... a necessity. She doesn't have that much, maybe a cup or two, but like she needs it. You know, like, yeah. But I've had caffeine withdrawal and it is
brutal.
It's horrible. I've never had a headache like that. Like that is just a nightmare. So yeah, but I think you're right. What about you? Are you a coffee drinker?
Well, years ago when I was pregnant with Tiffany, I was a purist during pregnancy, and so I switched to water processed decaf.
Okay.
Which was hard to find then. I think most decaf now is water processed. Yeah, or at least the kinds that I get, fair trade, all the stuff. But anyway, so I just never really went back. But you know that I was a Diet Coke junkie, and there is caffeine in that. And I do drink a lot of tea, but I drink regular, I guess it's green tea in the morning. Maybe it's black tea. That's the highest in caffeine. But I have like one cup of that, and then I switch to herb tea for the rest of the day.
Oh, cool. That's not bad.
Yeah, so it's not terrible.
No,
yeah. Every once in a while, I like to have a cup of real coffee, but it makes me really jittery.
It makes me so jittery, and I love the taste.
You love it?
Oh. I love the taste. Like,
but do you like the jittery?
No. That's why I can't I can have like a couple sips. I mean, that's it. It's pathetic.
Okay, so Jan is texting me so she can give us tips while
I love it.
She said, yes, caffeine withdrawal can happen in 24 hours. Okay.
Okay.
Good to know. Ugh. Okay. If you can hear us, Jan, you have a second to answer this question. What would be the maximum amount of coffee or caffeine that someone should have in a day?
You mean if they're prone to headaches?
If they're prone to headaches, yeah.
It's a great question. What's your guess while she texts back? Mine is like one at max, I think, unless she'll probably say avoid it completely after you drop down. But I'm curious what she's going to say.
Hopefully she heard the question. But anyway,
wow.
Oh, okay. So Jan, again, if you are listening to the show, I'm asking the question of what would be the maximum amount of caffeine that someone should have in a day if they are prone to headaches. So if she's going to answer, I'll let you know. Different for each person.
Oh.
I'm glad she's a very responsive texter.
Yes. I love that.
This is a new technology of doing our show.
God, I love it.
Text, well, sort of like text therapy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Same
People
thing.
People do that too.
Yeah,
I really love, there's so many practical tips, and I love that she incorporates this holistic model. So it's all about diet and breathing, meditating, self-massage, all of these goodies that we can do to really help it's kind of like overall health and well-being.
That's what it sounds like. It's very, you know, psychosomatic. So it's like it has to do with everything. If you want to find Jan, she's at theheadachecoach.com. Again, that's theheadachecoach.com. And her book is The Headache Healer's Handbook. And this is so helpful because headaches can be so debilitating. So I'm so happy that we kind of have an answer and there's hope for people out there who are really suffering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. All right. So what else you got going on?
The rest of the week?
Yeah.
Trying to think if there's anything too exciting. Tomorrow I have a little time off, and I was thinking, like, literally, I'm like, maybe I'll get a massage. Like, maybe I'll, like, because, like, I haven't been sleeping well. I don't know.
It's contagious.
No. I mean, I've been sleeping, but I wake up and, like, I feel contorted. Like, I'm not. So maybe I need another pillow. We should ask Jan that other question of, like, how to prevent, you know, headaches with, like, what's the proper pillow?
You know what, actually? Have you ever done the Sleep by Numbers company for a pillow?
No.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's really great. It's you've seen those stores before?
Yes.
Sleep by Numbers, yeah. And then I have my own design pillow for my neck shape and head shape. And
what if you're like a stomach sleeper?
They'll tell you. I mean, you'll try different ones that
I love it. I'm totally going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I mean, it's worth it. It's like $80 or $100, but
absolutely. But it makes a difference. By the way, we don't get any kickbacks. This is just purely like me and Deborah talking.
Unless they want to be a sponsor.
Right, exactly. Then that's another story. So next week, you booked our guest. Who is it?
Oh, yes. Next week, I got an interesting email from somebody who is has an organization called Children Mending Hearts. Her name is Linda Dewar. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And Siobhan? Something like that, Bill. They're going to tell us. Anyway, so they actually have a whole program where they teach children empathy. And then they're going to talk to us also about bullying and prevention of bullying. And because I don't think we've had much of a guest like
that. No, I love
that.
I think that's wonderful.
And boy, teaching children empathy is so important. I think a lot of people just assume that empathy is natural. And a lot of kids are more sensitive than others. And they are naturally more thoughtful and empathetic. But it is our job to teach empathy in our children, because otherwise they end up being awful.
Yes, exactly. And now we need it more than ever, I think, too.
Oh, for
sure.
There's
so much going on.
Absolutely.
So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, of course. And by the way, do your kids sleep all the way through the night?
Yes.
They do. Mm-hmm. And they have been for a long time.
Yes. Thank God. Knock on wood for the most part.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
All right.
All right. My dear.
Thank you, everybody. So much. Really
have
appreciate it.
Have a great one. Again, go check out Jan Mundo's book. And
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.